Attic. My name's Frank.
Hey, Frank.
And the committee just like grabbed me up a little while ago and like had asked me to share on this step, and like I just like walked in. I thought I was sharing with Frank because they said for two, me and Frank together, and like both of us are from Baltimore. And we've done this before. We've had an opportunity and like humility. Frank just said go on and share, but anyways, and I've been behind the scenes here. And matter of fact, I've been a program chair at this convention, and when you got speakers and secretaries, man, that's when we come together as a whole and we just like step out of the way and we allow the message to be carried. But the eighth step, let's go right to this, do the work, okay? We made a list. I have a list. Okay, my home group is a therapeutic value group of Narcotics Anonymous. We meet on Sunday night on Gulf Street in Baltimore City, in the Baltimore area, and I'm an active member of my home group. And I've had an opportunity since I've been clean to have 2 8 steps since I've been clean. And my first 8 step that I got to when I got clean, we didn't have the new step guide out. So what we did and what I was suggested to do from a Narcotics Anonymous sponsor was write a list. And that's all he asked me to do, was write a list. And look up what willingness meant. And how willing was I willing to do the work that it took to write this list and bring it to him? And like he just said, look, just take some time out and like and pray. And invite God in and take some time when you go to write about the people that you've harmed. And like countless others here, I harmed a lot of people. I harmed countless, nameless, faceless people, and include myself. And through my process, I've brought many people on the list. Countless, faceless people onto the list. And I've had to become more willing to make amends to them all. And what I've, the evidence in my recovery has been is that God has not presented everybody to me to make my amends. And I've had the opportunity to make my amends by doing other service work to myself and to others in society, because like society was on my list. And like I still today, because it talks about like in It Works How and Why, like about making amends and rekindling not the relationship with some of our spouses here, right? So I'm going to touch a little bit, because 9 touches in on It Works How and Why, about 8 and how we really put 8 into action, is that like on my list, I had myself, I had my mom, I had my family, but like the most important ones that were not just me were my children. Right? So let's go right into how to really like make an amends part, because I became very willing when I got clean to do whatever it took to stay clean and to change and become a productive member of society. But like when it talks about like maintaining something, because after you work the 8th and the 9th, you got 10, 11, and 12 that you got to maintain the work that you just finished doing, because the sorries are gone. The broken promises are gone. Right? Like I'm going to be home, kids. I'm paying the bills. They're gone. So like, look, my sponsor told me when I got clean, that stuff's got to go. Your amends and your apology now is that you're not willing to do the same thing over. We just looked over your 4th step. We just seen your patterns. Because like it talked about in like in the basic text in the 8th step, it talked about now we have the opportunity to not walk in fear. We hold our heads up high. Well, I don't have that aggressive look no more. I've had the opportunity before I got to the 8th step to deal with my prejudice, my self-hatred. Right, the overcoming prejudice issues, overcoming the low self-esteem, the pain that I took inward. So like by the time I got to the 8th step, I had a whole lot of self-acceptance, and I could accept myself and countless others, and the harm that I played like in my situations with relationships. And like the hardest part, and the guilt and shame kept me from was to become more willing, was like the countless women that I had hurt and harmed in active addiction, and before I even started using. So like when I got to the list, man, there were countless people that I had harmed, and I had come to find out that I hurt everybody who tried to love me. Anybody who had tried to, because I denied myself love. So I didn't feel worthy enough. So it's what I did. As soon as I felt like someone was coming close to me to love me, I would sabotage the relationship. I would do what it took, either verbally abuse you or physically abuse you, and allow myself to have myself my cage and like my arena so that you couldn't hurt me. And I seen like in my fourth step how I had these patterns and how I never had a long lasting, healthy, clean relationship. But when I got to the eighth step and I'd seen these countless people on it, and I asked my sponsor, I said, how am I going to make amends to all these countless members in my family, my children? And like my sponsor really broke it down. He said, look, you know, that's why we have a chapter in the basic text, More Be Revealed. There'll be a time and place in your recovery where you will make your amends. Right? And he said, you know, he helped me out a lot. He tried to just keep me on the eighth step and write the list. But I tell you, willingness for me was I was willing to do whatever it took. Because after 6 and 7, I had built enough character in my recovery. I wanted to be a good Narcotics Anonymous member. And I didn't want my clean one. When you hear some, most of all, I didn't want my clean date to change. Because I snuck over into the ninth step and basic text, talked about your clean times, got to speak for itself. I like went ahead of myself because I still was trying to get whatever I could so I could maintain where I was in my recovery. And like, and on my eighth step, I'd hurt a lot of countless family members. And like when I got clean, before I even wrote my eighth step, my mom died when I had 92 days clean, right? I'd been in court 11 times for custody and child support with 3 of my children, right? I had a lot of guilt and shame from abandoning my children when I was using. Right? I had a lot of guilt and shame because I couldn't keep my hands to myself. And the way that I used to express myself with women, I was very a physical and abusive, bitter man. So like, look, when I got to that step, man, I didn't think a lot of the women and the men that I had harmed in active addiction that I would have, like they could even accept an apology from me. Like, I had to forgive myself first. And I have my name on the list. You know, I tell you still today how I make amends to myself. I make my amends to myself a lot more healthier than I have since I've been clean. But most of all, I don't use. That is my most important amends that I do to myself. I don't use. I don't hang around people, places, and things. Right? I stay out of them arenas. I change all my playgrounds and all my playmates. I don't associate with nobody who uses. Right? It talked about in my eight-step list, society again. I was a menace to society. And what I do for society today, it's still like in a long process. It's like when I'm outside, I try to pick up a piece of trash. I was given that experience that if you want to, I have a service to society today. I have a business in Baltimore City. So I have a service to society. But see, I still suffer from like, not perfection. And I still drop trash out of the car. I still suffer from defects of character. I don't put the trash in the trash can. I call that like laziness and self-loathing. I allow my girlfriend to do it. Seven steps says we are each other's eyes and ears. And I'm in the mainstream of life now. You know, and I still suffer from things that are still like, there was a time when I used to like, pick the trash up off the ground or in my car, and I'd put it in a trash can. I would pick up after myself and pick up after you in meetings, right? But I'm just talking about where I'm at now, and like I know it's still a process because there's things still that I put on my list, right? That I've had to return back and start to maintain again. And I think I got a lot of amends I've made with like my brother, my sister, my father. My grandmother died when I had 5.5 years clean. My grandfather died when I've been to many, many, many grave sites with family members since I've been clean. But like the most important amends that, and this is really like where my heart goes right now is an amends with my children. Right? It's not, and it works out why I talks about how we don't rekindle that old emotional wounded relationship with our significant others. We talk about it, we have an obligation now. Think what I'm saying. It works out why it says we have an obligation to our children, so we need to set up what we owe, and it's called child support payments. Right? The literature tells us that. Matter of fact, next month, my oldest son will be, well, he's 18 now. He'll graduate from high school, right? But in the process of the amends, see, amends for that is a two-piece hit. It's being cordial with the mother of my children, right? But being consistent, right? I'm saying consistent now, like my clean time is run, is being consistent with paying my child support, Right? And look, and see, I suffer from a defect of character that is arrested today. It has been arrested. It's called greed. Right? So, like, in my 8-step, when I went to write down the children, right, and I had processed, the new step God came out, right? And the new step God had helped me with the resistance to change, right? Allowed me to know where change comes growth. So in that process, I learned how to be consistent, right, and pay child support. But here's the piece, right? Through greed, it was like, okay, now I'm paying child support, right? But I'm still not showing up for them because of guilt and shame, right? So I was like being a part-time dad. So it's what I was doing. I was paying the child support, right? But still not being obligated to showing up because I was still making broken promises, right? So guilt and shame blocked me back from paying the child support, right? So now I'm not paying the child support now, and I'm coming up short with paying the child support, right? But now I got them on the list, right? And I'm really willing to make the amends, right? And I'm paying the child support. But now, because of greed, I'm not paying all the child support because I'm not showing up for the children now, right? I'm telling them the money's on the way, right? Now I'm lying and I'm manipulating and I'm deceitful because now the reality, I've done made the amends, I thought, with the mother of my 3 children, right? But now I'm lying to her now. Right? Now I'm lying to her and I'm telling her the check's on the way, right? And the money's not being sent no more. So look at it. I might as well just took them off the list. Because I had a real good intentions. I had real good intentions in becoming a dad and putting them on the list, right? But see, my intentions, I was just living a lie again because I still had guilt and shame back in the 4-step. Because it says we need to go over the 4-step. And I passed over some things with minimum concern, and I wasn't like, oh, look, I had them on the list, man. And good intentions was I was going to pay the child support this week clean. I'm not talking about with like 1 year clean. I'm talking about multiples of years clean. Being $10,000, $12,000 in arrears clean. Right? I'm talking about how my 6-step was, and 7 was tying and wasn't allowing me to have the freedom in 8 and 9 yet. There was no freedom still. I had good intentions of like doing that 2-piece. And look, I had them on the list. I would go over the list, right? And I would pass over minimum concern. But see, all my friends, we talk about in the 7-step, are each other's eyes and ears, right? They were addressing me and telling me, man, this amends needs to be played, man. You could see, even with years clean, that I wasn't making amends, man. There were a lot of broken promises. I'm on the way and not showing up. Right? Judge don't want to hear where you've been, how much clean time, who your home group is. Nothing. Not at your obligation. Right? So what am I doing now? Now I got mom on the list. Right? I've done made the direct amends with time. Right? But guess what? Yeah, she just said, you know, you're better off when you were using. You wearing a mask. To her, I was still wearing a mask. I was still lying. It was on the list. That's all it was doing. There wasn't no willingness. We talk about all the people we've harmed, right? All the, so now I'm in guilt and shame, right? Now I'm in the guilt and shame. I got these, loved ones on the list, right? And now I'm, it only takes one defect for all my defects to come out. It just takes one. It just takes one error to find a loophole in. Now I have countless others on my list that I've made amends to, right? And look, check this out. Now I'm not living that with the family no more because of guilt and shame because they're asking me where the children are, right? And I'm telling them the lie again. I'm living the lie again, telling them it has to do with mom. She won't let me see the children. Right? So like now I got all these people, family members on the list, right? What am I doing? I'm lying again. Right? They're on the list, but I'm lying to them again. Right? And look, it takes a whole lot of willingness to put yourself in a rut clean, and then we'll get yourself out of that rut clean. It takes a whole lot of pain to get out of the rut clean. Right? And I knew my list was there. I remember when I went over my new list, because now I had you people on the list clean. Right? Because I was taking my stuff and putting it in other arenas. Right? So now the new step guy comes out, and that breaks it down a lot more than just like writing a list with black and white and going over spots. And that the new step guy started separating me and my defects of character, the disease of addiction. And now I got to see how I need to be consistent. Because see, I'm suffering from greed right now, and I got the children on the list, and I'm not showing up. Look, my children are just going through life. Right? They hear that their daddy's clean. Right? They're hearing his dad, their daddy's clean, and now I'm going through life, and I got three children who are just going through life saying, well, my daddy's clean now. My daddy's clean, but he sends a minimum of child support payments, right? And like now, there's no willingness still. There's no willingness. And look, it just took for me for a deep level of surrender, to surrender the defect of greed. And it took another recovering addict's experience to share with me. And once I surrendered, then I just had a little bit of willingness, right, that I could start making these amends to my children. So soon as I surrender, right, that defect of greed, God puts me into another arena, which gives me the opportunity to have a service to society. Now there's a new flow of money coming in, right? Okay, but in the process of that, I'm crossing people off on my list clean. I'm cleaning up my house clean, right? I'm walking into meetings. My integrity's coming back. My chin's up again, right? I'm sharing clean. I'm living clean again. New countless members of my whole network society and Narcotics Anonymous is changing, right? And I'm making amends clean to people that I've harmed in the rooms and society. Right, we talk about society now that now I'm going to court, right, and the judge is saying, oh, all your child support's paid. Okay, well, there's no reason for you to be here. Right, you're wasting the court's time now. Right, so now, right, in the process of, in the process of still having my name on the list, right, and not giving myself the true, genuine love and making amends to myself, I'm practicing sex. No, I'm having sex, right? But not practicing it safely, right? So now I have another child, right? Now I have another child, and in the process of that, right, I'm putting on another face on the list, her mom, right? And then right back to it works how and why. Obligation to set up child support payments with your children. So here I am, right back in the same arena again. But now, again, it says, but we don't rekindle that emotional, scarred relationship that me and her wounded, very scarred relationship with me and her, because that's not our obligation here. It's just to set up child support payments. Here I am with 10 years clean, right? Done lost my license. Oh, no. $14,000 in arrears, Frank. No driver's license. Right? I'm sleeping on my friend's little room upstairs in the top of an attic, right? I'm shoveling rat shit in Baltimore City in abandoned houses for $60 a day. Right? I'm talking about how willing was I willing to change. God had said, look, you have people and yourself you need to make amends to, and this has to come first. Right? Everybody else will come along the way, but your children are the most innocent ones. You guys can handle me. You got to work a program. But my children don't have a program. My children have a God, but they don't have a program. So when I came to that utter desperation clean, almost two and a half years ago, right? God just gave me provided me again and said, I'm gonna pull you up out of the rut and allow you to make amends to your children, but this time maintain that to the best of your ability. And look, I'm gonna keep putting you back. I'm talking about a God who has opportunities for me over and over and over and over and over and over. An opportunity, God. And allow me again, right? Pay all that child support off, right? $10,000 in arrears child support. All right, got my license, right? Got that back. And then here I am again with like, okay, now I have four children and an obligation. And how am I going to do all this? So God gives me the opportunity to move out of the home, right? Move out of the home. Gives me the opportunity to have another home of God's, right? And my little baby girl has her own room. Okay, Hannah has her own room. Brand new furniture, right? I'm talking about like I can never do enough. There will never be enough in 24 hours I can ever do for my children. And so it gives me the opportunity to have a service to society, which allows me to pay my child support. All my child support for all four of my children are paid. It was paid before I got here this weekend, right? And I'm talking about Opportunity God, right? Opportunity God, the mother of my daughter that I do have, in, that we have in recovery, right? We talk about cordial. Me and her like talk every day. We friends. At least I believe we're friends. But we friends and we talk every day. We laugh and like and my daughter, right? Through that, my daughter, right? My other three children are like interacting together, right? I never thought 12 years later, like my oldest son, because my mother, my other children called me and said, "Look, you know, in May, Frankie comes off child support," and I was like, "Wow, it's been that long." Right? That's been a long time. I mean, I've been behind in front and behind in front, behind in front. And but I thought when my baby came, right, and that came on, I was like, how am I going to make it now? How am I going to make it now? You know, it was just like, I just seen no hope. I said, how am I going to make this one now? You know, and it's happening a day at a time. Some days are different than others. Some days are a lot different than others. But I know that who I have on the list, I'm still the most important person. Do I still am willing to make amends to myself consistently? That I still harm myself. I do. There's still things I do, right, that still bring harm to Frank in his life. I still give myself still sometimes self-abuse, you know. There's still things, some of the physically, there's still things. Mentally, there's still things. Spiritually, there's still things that I still have myself on that list. You know, I just know that I can reflect in my heart on who's on my list and who I believe that only God will give me the opportunity to work the ninth step with. Whenever that time and place comes, God hasn't put nobody in my life in 12 years and some change who I have harmed, right, has come up on me with a gun or knife or in a meeting anywhere. Anyway, I've been all over this country, except up in the holes where I don't need to be, where somebody I've harmed physically, bodily, or stole from and lied from and manipulated and, like, put myself to where I could have lost my life. And that's all from a loving God, a loving and caring God. And the second step that I just believed in when I got some hope, that when I wrote that list, right, that I haven't been put in them arenas to be hurt. And I know that I still have a list, and I'm still on it, and so is my family members and my friends. And I keep coming back. Thanks.
Thank you for sharing. Now I'd like to introduce our second speaker, Kirk from Dayton, Ohio.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, my name is Kirk, and I'm an addict. I want to thank God. I want to thank Frank for filling in and coming up here and sharing his experience, strength, and hope. And I asked him, could I go second? And the reason is we came all the way from Dayton, Ohio. We drove 11 and a half hours to get up here. And my best friend is over here doing a workshop over here. So the guys that are over here wanted to come and hear me share. So there's a few of us up here. I don't know, man. Every time I come up here, I'm always nervous. I'm always nervous. I was just honored to be the opening speaker in DACNA. It was a trip. So I got a problem with microphones. They had me holding this damn microphone. And I'm not used to holding the microphone. They had a bird flying around. And the ballroom was that big. They had a bird flying around. And when they did the opening, they actually had about 2,500 people in this ballroom, right? And they were dancing in the middle of the halls, in the aisles, the middle of the aisles. They were dancing in the middle of the aisles. And when I got up to share, they ended it. When I got up to share, there was 100 people in there, 100 people, and it immediately affected my self-esteem, you know, so I just keep coming. I ask God, man, to help me. I know that God is working with me. He has done a lot for me. I want to go to the, I'm a literature man. I believe in the literature of Narcotics Anonymous. I make no bones about that. I want to go to one of the personal stories in the back. I love this part, and I wish I had written this. You know what I mean? This, I don't know, I just love it. When I first read this, I fell in love with this. It's in the personal stories, one of the personal stories entitled, I Was Unique. It's the second to the last paragraph. He writes, I have found a new home in the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. My life again has meaning. I have found that I have but one calling in life, and that is to carry this message to the addicts who still suffers. I am so grateful to God and Narcotics Anonymous that I may do this today. I love that, man. When I read that, it was like, boy, you home. Finally home. It's something about, I'm from the Dayton area, and we talk about in the Dayton area, it's something about a good ass whooping that'll go a long way. Something about a good ass whooping. You don't come in meetings asking a whole lot of questions. But you gotta get got right. Something about getting got right. It's something about, man, when this thing whoops you, a lot of the stuff just falls away. You know, those questions that you hear in meetings and shit like, do I need to get a sponsor? You don't be asking them questions. Those questions have already been answers for you when you come in this program and you really take a whooping. I'm retarded. I'm going to let y'all know. Something wrong with me. If you sitting up in a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, something wrong with your ass. You need to know that. I know. I sponsored enough of y'all. I know y'all four-step inventory. I know things is going on with y'all, too. So if you're sitting up in here, like it talks about in our literature, in desperation we sought help from each other. So you a desperado. I know it's fucked up, and I understand. There's a lot that I had to surrender to, I had to get to in this program. You know what I'm saying? If you was a crackhead auto or a heroin auto or a marijuana auto, I don't know what you are, but that's why it says in the literature that the group is the most powerful vehicle for carrying the message. I know that went over your head. Don't worry about it. But I love this program, man. I love what this thing does. And I had to take a whooping, man. I had to take a whooping. Something about taking a whooping is something about getting down to my right size. Man, it helped me out. I'm doing the eighth step. My man hooked it up. He did all the particulars of the eighth step. He hooked it all up, and he did a fine job with that. So I'm going to come from a different angle. I'm going to kind of switch gears on it. And it works how. Why? Matter of fact, this is a 20th anniversary book of Narcotics Anonymous. And it's got the silver lining. And this is the, I guess, the companion of this 20th anniversary thing. And they only had certain editions of these books. You know, I'm serious. I'm a Narcotics Anonymous person. I got a Narcotics Anonymous shirt on. I got a Narcotics Anonymous watch with the damn symbol. I got Narcotics Anonymous underwear on. And all, there's a part of it says, more be revealed. I believe in this program, man, and I love this program. I'm going to let y'all know about me for real. I'm going to tell y'all about me. If you can see, you can look. And I tell you about me because in the basic text, it talks about most of all, I'm going to read it. Most of all, we harmed ourselves. Most of all. That's why I harmed your ass, because I didn't care about me. That's the exact nature. That's the hookup. That's why I had all those people on those lists, because I didn't love me. Most of all, we harmed ourselves. Shit, if I didn't care about me, what I did to you in society was shit. It didn't matter. I didn't care about me. But I'm going to hook that up, and I'm going to try to get down into that and see what happened. And what I'm saying is, you can see my eyesight. I've been messed up all my whole life over that. I've never had the wherewithal, the intestinal fortitude to stand in front of people. I've always been nervous on the inside. That's why they say we suffer from the dis-ease of addiction. Something on the inside. It talks about something in our personalities cries out for failure. That same something that the literature talks about. So there's something in my personality, man. So I had to get in touch with it. And I know you got something going on with your ass or you wouldn't be sitting in here. You know what I'm saying? Your thing may not be long enough. Your titties might not be big enough. You might not think you're smart enough. You know what I'm saying? But something going on with you, and you got to get with that. Because there was something going on. It says most of us believe we were addicts long before we picked up the first drug. So there's been something going on inside of me for a long time, man. And I never could get to it until I came into this program and y'all hooked me up with the spiritual principles of Narcotics Anonymous. So let's go here. Real quick, the eighth step. I'll come right to that. Okay, the eighth step. It works how and why. Okay. I think that's the page before. Okay, here we go. It says, although we may find the majority of our amends list from reviewing our fourth step. So our amends list, that list comes from our fourth step. Now you may add some stuff on as more is revealed, but most of it comes from the fourth step. So it's just a list. We do eight like there is no nine. Just like we did four like there's not a five. So it's hard, it's almost impossible to talk about one step without talking about other ones and how the steps set you up. So although we may find the majority of our amends list from reviewing our four steps, step eight isn't simply a restatement of our inventory. We're now looking, we're seeking these people out for the people, places, and institutions we harm, not just the types of harm we inflicted. We didn't just lie, we lied to someone. So we go to someone. And he hooked that up, Frank hooked that up. It says, many of us had trouble seeing how we had harmed ourselves and may have been surprised when other addicts suggested that we add our own name to the list. So I'm going to talk about me, and I'm going to talk about why I did what I did to other people. And I know y'all, in the readings and while we're here, you know, that's talked about, we did many people great harm, but most of all, we harmed ourselves. So it all goes back to, man, I didn't like me. I didn't like me from the beginning. It's, I heard a guy say, everybody wants to be somebody, but nobody wants to be themselves. Didn't like me, man. I just didn't like me. But there was a point in my life when I was young that I had complete freedom. There was a point where I didn't care about what you thought about my eyesight or what you thought about me. You know what I'm saying? I was able to play ball. I don't have a ghetto story. I don't. I got to share my story. I come from a nice home. My father had a degree in engineering back in 1954, a black man. My mother worked in the school system. I come up in a good neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? I don't have a ghetto story, but I ended up in the ghetto. This thing, boy, will turn your ass all the way around. It don't give a damn about that. It don't care how smart you are, none of that shit. I can tell you all kind of shit. Two parallel lines across by a transversal. Alternate interior angles are equal. Corresponding angles on the same side of the transversal are equal. But I couldn't get the fuck up off the floor. I couldn't do it. I couldn't, man. Rodney, I couldn't get my mind around one is too many, a thousand is never enough. Brilliant, motherfucker, get off the floor. Come on, smart man. You know what I'm saying? This thing told the frame out of me, man. I don't play with this, boy. I give the disease of addiction all this respect. Man, I'm talking about told the frame out of me. So I got to understand, man, you didn't like yourself. That was a hookup from a young age. And it ain't like I didn't come from a good family, you know, and it wasn't like, I don't know. It's just something about when the consciousness came to me and somebody said something about my eyesight. You know, there used to be a program a long time ago. I'm 45, so I've been around here 12 and a half years. And so if you about my age, you might have noticed, and I hated this damn show. They had a show out called Clarence the Cross-Eyed Line. Huh? Y'all mean, I hated that motherfucker, man. Fuck Clarence. People like, man, what's wrong with you, man? It was messed up. But before that, I had complete freedom. I would play marbles, you know what I'm saying, and, you know, do the things that I want to do, and I had fun, man, you know what I'm saying? And then something happened, and somebody said something about me, and they laughed. Oh, goddamn, why'd you laugh? When they laughed, I lost all the freedom. Then, instead of being free, instead of doing the things that young kids do to try to get themselves squared away, I was so worried about what you would say about me. That innocence was gone. I had lost that, man. So now, instead of being free, instead of doing the things I was supposed to do, I'm trying to defend myself. Every time you say something, you know I had that crazy. You know what I'm saying? So I was putting on the mask. I had to put the mask on to defend myself. So instead of being free, man, I'm playing games. I'm playing games, man. And I should have been free. I should have been like it talks about in another look, the pamphlet, another look. It talks about the creative action of the spirit. It talks about what addiction is not and what addiction is. And it talks about addiction is not freedom. And a creative action of the spirit. I should have been free, man. I should have been just chilling, just doing what young kids do, man. Instead of worrying about what you think about me. You know what I'm saying? But I'm caught up in the grips already. Caught up in the grips. Ain't like I didn't have promise. I had promise. You know, I graduated from college in Narcotics Anonymous. I came in here, man. I'm telling you, I was homeless. I lost it all. I lost everything. This thing has stripped everything from me. There wasn't no bullshit in my game when I came up in here. This thing, man, has stripped everything. Disease of addiction will uncover your ass. It's like it just stripped the robe up off of me. And I'm sitting there just, damn. It was like, damn. So I got to get a lot of that stuff back because through the step work, I learned to love myself. Begin to love myself. That true self-worth, that true self-esteem. Beginning to learn who you are, man, and begin to love you. So I got an associate's degree in this program. You know what I'm saying? Got a bachelor's degree in this program. Went and got a master's, graduated summa cum laude. Lottie dottie, we like to potty. All that bullshit. You can't graduate no higher than that shit. So it ain't like I didn't have any promise, but that ain't the point. You can't, like step seven says, at some point, you have to stop intellectualizing this program. So the intellect won't save you if the solution is on a spiritual level. Your smartness ain't going to save your ass. With an MBA, I got an MBA in business economics. You know what I'm talking about? At the same school that I got kicked out of, I ended up teaching at. Well, how do you explain that shit? Something had to happen, man. Something had to happen like it talks about in recovery and relapse. It talks about this program will change your inner motivation. It talks about a true conversion deep within. Something happened, man. Something happened. It says it can't adequately be explained. The fuck happened? You was a geeker. That's what I was, man. I wasn't no daggone pimp. I wasn't no player. I wasn't no dope man. I was a geeker. A damn geeker. I used to stand out there 3 and 4 days in a row. You know what I'm saying? With crumbs in my damn pocket. Asking people, are you straight? If I'd have seen me, I wouldn't have bought shit from me. Are you straight? All you got is crumbs. Man, come on, man. What happened? What made you stand out there like that? And it goes back to I hated me. So I harmed everybody. It talks about hell. We couldn't be nothing but self-centered and active addiction. Harmed everybody. Anything that came across, man, my path, I had to do what I had to do to get what I had to get. That's the name of the game. It talks about it don't matter where you've been, it's where you're going that counts. But I had to understand that, man. Get down in here. Amid complete defeat, your ass got tore out the frame. You'll be out there with an MBA on the street if you pick up again. I don't give a damn how many people you sponsor. I sponsor about 15 people. I've taken people through the steps. You know what I'm saying? My sponsees have taken people through the steps. So I've seen a lot, man, been through a lot. You know, real quick here, I want to plug our convention. Our convention is July 2nd through the 4th, 2004 in Dayton, Ohio. Y'all come on down. You can do that. Y'all can come on down and do that. So we do a lot of service work, getting involved, man, and it's about staying in the middle of this program, man. I don't want no more of that, Kurt. You know what I'm saying? There used to be an old NFL commercial. I don't know if y'all remember it. It says, First of all, let me say this. This was my life before Narcotics Anonymous, and this is your life now. Complete defeat, a ass whooping, toe out the frame, and now you got an MBA, a house, a car, a wife. You got you got the ability to stand in front of people. You got the ability to be honest about yourself. And the commercial said, the NFL commercial said, you make the call. You want this or you want that? I don't want to go back to that no damn more. So I'll do whatever this program asks me to do, man. You know what I'm saying? I'll stay hooked up and do whatever this program asks. I don't give a damn what happens. Been through a lot of things, man. I've seen a lot of things. Like it talks about surviving our feelings and emotions, being able to do that. But the whole hit was learning to love myself. So I love me enough today. I love me enough today where I won't harm you. Because if I harm you, I'm harming me. Most of all, we harmed ourselves. I always got the short end of the stick. I don't give a damn what I did to you. My first four jobs in Narcotics Anonymous, I got fired from. Just talking. God damn, won't you shut up? Always got to say something. I get fired, and they wouldn't even be talking to me. Damn, how you get fired? They talking to him, and I get fired. Something you fucked up, man, on some things, man. Come on, man. Ain't even talking to you. What's up with that? I mean, just stupid shit. It's like, man, if I don't stay on guard in this program, boy, something wrong. And look, I used to blame the white man. I'm telling you, I used to blame the white man. There's a conspiracy out against me. I worked for a black company. Everybody was black. The owner, the workers, the damn equipment was black. I still got fired, man. They still fired my ass, boy. Like, come on, God, what is wrong with me, man? What is wrong? How come I can't deal like other people? What is wrong? Why do I hate myself that damn much? What is wrong? Your ass, and another thing, your ass is suicidal if you're in this program. You're on suicide watch. Said we were slowly committing suicide and lost the power to do anything about it. Another part of the text said, wouldn't it be insane? Huh? To go up and somebody ask, could I please? That's what my man was just saying yesterday. Could I please have a fatal heart attack? I'm suicidal, man. I'm retarded. Something wrong with me. You know what I'm saying? I'm a desperado. So it's just about being honest with yourself. And by being honest, man, it stripped that shit and allowed me to finally get broken down to my right size and let y'all build me back up. Most of my friends ain't got nothing but high school diplomas, and they got more sense than I ever had. I'd be like, man, look, here's what I'm thinking. So I share with their ass, they'd be like, man, that's stupid as hell. Damn, I'd be like, damn, am I that messed up, man? So I say, okay, I don't want no more. All right, I do what they say. You know what I'm saying? So I look at that kind of stuff. You know, I mean, all that stuff, man. Just look at who you are and get honest about what you did in this program, man. It's about getting honest. Can I get honest? Can I get that gut level honest? You know, I don't always feel that great about me. I don't, man. And I know if you're sitting up here, you don't either. So it's something that's why we suffer from this. This thing exists for real. You know what I mean? So I had to get down and understand that, man. You suffer from the disease of addiction, Kirk. So things are going to happen, and you got to be honest. Just be honest about what you did. You know what I mean? My man was talking about sexual exploits and stuff. Man, I don't know. Now, psychologists will tell you one thing, you know, about this thing here. And I always share about this because it really lets you know how I felt about myself. You know, and I call myself the jack-off king. I was the jack-off king. I did it so much that one of my friends caught me doing it, right? My mother, I guess she got tired of me. She had to know, so she just let him come upstairs, right? You know, so he caught me. So every time they see me, they do like this. Here come this mother. You know, they do like, here come this mother. And I did it so much. I should have what they call that shit, your damn hand, what they call that shit, carpal tunnel syndrome. What they say, repetitive motion. You know what I mean? But it's about being honest, and people say it's okay to do that and all that. I'm talking about, for me, it lowered my self-esteem. It lowered my self-esteem. So things that I did, it was easy. Man, I was an easy setup for this program. My self-esteem was so low. Even though I came from a good family, even though I did good shit, you know what I'm saying? I had good things going on with me. But there was something about it where I really hated me. And then I had to learn to find that true love, true self-respect, that stuff that you really got to work for. Go in there and understand, man, you just human just like everybody else. Everybody else is scared. Everybody else got things going on with you. You may not be able to see it like you see my eye, but hell, some of it I can see. You know what I'm saying? It's something going on inside of me, man, that held me back. And then this thing, like it talks about in step one, that the chains are released. And this set me free. Talks about after working the steps, we are set free. It set me free. I mean, there's a relative freedom. You know what I mean? You still got to deal. You still got to deal with life on its own term. You got to deal with the disease of addiction. And it's talking shit to you, you know, all the time. And you hearing all this bullshit. And you trying to deal with life. And then other things are happening in your life. And you got this motherfucker talking to you. And you got financial problems or whatever going on. Relationship problem. And this thing is steadily jigging at you, man. You know what I mean? Steadily messing with you. And you got to be able to survive your feelings and emotions. I couldn't survive my feelings and emotion as a young kid. I couldn't do it, man. Didn't have the wherewithal. I didn't have it until coming to this program. Y'all gave it to me. So grateful for Narcotics Anonymous. So grateful to be able to do the things that I've done. You know, my first job that worked at McDonald's, that was the one I got fired at. I was 32 years old, man, almost 33. And I was working with people 18, 19. They was working circles around my ass. You know what I'm saying? My feet was hurting and shit. I was like, man, this is fucked up. You in a homeless program. I spent 22 months in institutions. 30 days at a homeless program. Like 13 months in a damn homeless program. And like 9 or 10 months in a halfway house. And getting that daggone job and then just seeing, man. You know, like it talks about faced with the evidence. But you know what I mean? Faced with the evidence, it was harder to deny what was going on in my life. So I was hearing people get honest. And I was saying to myself, man, I need this program. I need to get honest. I need to understand what was going on with me. And I kept asking God, and I kept doing what y'all told me to do, coming to meetings regularly. I don't play with that, man. I don't play with that bullshit. You know, a lot done changed in the Narcotics Anonymous. A lot has changed, man, in this program. You got people with 30 and 40 days want to share on the third step and the fifth step and all that bullshit. Man, shut the fuck up. Man, they get on my nerves. Man, shut up. We will see your ass again. You know, and they people, well, hey, why you being so damn hard? To me, this ain't no punk-ass program. It's something about difference between Narcotics Anonymous and other fellowships. Ain't like we didn't sit up on the damn bar. I don't know where y'all came from. I wasn't sitting on no bar. I was going through the alleys up and down, shit, getting whooped. People beating the hell out of me, you know, doing this, playing games, up in the dope house, talking shit. I wasn't sitting on no bar. My life is fucked up. Yeah, well, mine was, but I wasn't sitting there crying to you about it. Shit. This thing drugged me, man. This thing drugged me everywhere, boy. I don't know. So there's something different about us, man. Something different about us. And Jimmy Kay was talking about that. I call myself, I am a self-proclaimed historian of Narcotics Anonymous. That's right. Jimmy Kay was talking about that shit. He was talking about before Narcotics Anonymous was formed, he was saying that they would be over on the other side, right? They'd be in those meetings, and the addicts knew each other automatically. They didn't even have to hear each other share. That's why people say, you know, we can go anywhere and find dope. You know, just the shit that we did. You know, making the signs, just doing that bullshit shit we did. That kind of stuff. You know, like this shit. Just run. You know, whatever you do. You're like that motherfucker. He a geeker, too. That's a geeker, man. There's something about a geeker, know a geeker. You ain't got to say nothing. Just sit with him for a second. Like, yeah, he fucked up, too. So, I don't know, man. It's something about it. So, Jimmy talked about that. And I'm hooked up with that. And I understand that, man. That's why I'm over here, man. I understand. So there's something about us. Ours is different, man. So to have a newcomer come in here and talk shit and don't know what they're talking about. Before, man, I was so scared. Before, when I came in here, you didn't say nothing. You better not say nothing. They didn't play. Sit down. Shut the up. They be like, man, I was so scared, man. I ain't no way I was going to say nothing. I wasn't going to say nothing, man. And they came hard. They wasn't playing games. You know, somebody, it's like we are a softer, kinder Narcotics Anonymous now. And I don't know if it's good or bad. I mean, some things done change, but some of that shit, man, is like, come on, man. You know, what's going on? You got, I mean, it's like people in meetings now got jingles and shit. We be talking about that in the Dayton area. All kind of jingles and shit. It's like the literature talks about we were looking for a magic cure. You know, they grateful, blessed, and loving, and blah, 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 all kind of shit. They done shared 15 minutes on their damn introduction before they even start talking. I'm like, come on, man. You think that shit gonna save you? That shit ain't gonna save your ass, man. Because you can sit there and talk that. It's like they so scared, you know what I mean? I understand being scared, but we need to just be talking to people, man, about this program and getting down to the basics of this program, man. You know, I don't know. Narcotics Anonymous, man, we ain't got to worry about no other fellowships no more. That shit, that paranoia stuff, that kind of stuff, man. Look, this train is on the track and ain't no stopping us, man. Ain't no stopping this, man. 50 years. 50 years in Narcotics Anonymous. Man, we ain't joking, man, for real. All you got to do is look at this convention. Walk outside of here. You see all these damn addicts, man. This is the biggest damn regular convention I've ever been to. I've been to the world twice. I went to San Diego, and then we went to Atlanta the year before. But I've never been to a regional convention this size. Huh. Yeah. Hell, I just left DACNA. They talk about how big DACNA is. This is three times as big as DACNA. And then dude was talking about Philly, and then somebody else was telling me about New York. And Jimmy and Tim getting ready to go up to New York and do a thing up in New York. They said it's just as big. You know what I'm saying? So Narcotics and I mean, when if you want to go over there, go your ass over there. Our tradition say you can freely come and freely go. We ain't scared of that shit over there no more, man. We thank God for them. Don't get me wrong. I went over there. We thank God I don't go over there no more. We thank God for them. We ain't scared of them. We ain't scared of them, man. We ready. Narcotics Anonymous ready, man. This is about desperate dying addicts. That's what it is. It's about desperate dying addicts. In the beginning of the basic text, when they first start writing that, they were doing it like in different intervals, writing the text. They would get together and then go back to separate areas and, you know, have another meeting, come back and do all that stuff. And they told me 5 minutes. That's all right, boy. No, that's what you're supposed to do. That's what I'm talking about. So they got together and they was doing this and writing the text. And I love this, man. I love this. I'm going to close with this. I usually start with it. It's the first time I'm closing with this. I'm going to close with this. I'm talking about the service prayer. Love the service prayer. It's and they talk about God, grant me knowledge. And it says in there that we may write according to your divine precepts. But I say in my prayers, my daily prayers, I say that I may live or that I may share according to your divine precepts. And precepts are spiritual laws. So that I may share or that I may live according to your divine precepts, instill in me a sense of your purpose. Make me a servant of your will. Grant me a bond of selflessness that this may truly be your work, that no addict anywhere seeking recovery need die from addiction. Horrors of addiction. I pass.